You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to this Analytics Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day here, every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. We obviously have a lot to be both equally concerned and excited about moving forward through the rest of this season for the New Orleans Saints. Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi is made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Drew Brees' MRI results have shown 5 broken ribs and a collapse, along with 3 of those broken ribs having happened in a previous game. So we'll discuss what this all means to the quarterback's return timetable, Jameis Winston's opportunity, and why we may see more Taysom Hill than previously expected, all in our first segment. Then we'll shoot for some of the positives as well by looking at the Saints' defensive performance against San Francisco more in depth. We wondered whether or not the Saints could maintain even half of their stingy performance against Tampa, and they did, so we'll discuss how they did it. Then we'll wrap up with a look at the numbers. New Orleans got away with a 2-touchdown win in a game where only 3 offensive players outside of Drew Brees had positive EPA per play numbers. How defense is winning games in New Orleans. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host of the Locked On NFL National Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Drew Brees' Monday MRI results reveal several broken ribs and a collapsed lung. He has an optimistic timetable of 2 to 3 weeks, but how realistic is that timeline? That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. New Orleans Saints future Hall of Fame quarterback Drew Brees ended up leaving the 27-13 victory for the Saints over the San Francisco 49ers at halftime, essentially pulling himself from the game, telling head coach Sean Payton that he wasn't going to be able to go back in. We had awaited news based upon his MRI results all day on Monday, and Ed Warder of ESPN came through with the update saying, quote, "Results of medical evaluations performed today of Saints quarterback Drew Brees revealed that he has multiple rib fractures on both sides of his chest and a collapsed lung on the right side. Injuries suffered over 2 weeks. It's uncertain how much time he might miss." So the key phrase from Werder there is that the injuries were suffered over 2 weeks, meaning that Drew Brees ended up playing this game all told with some of these rib fractures already existing. So we ended up getting further clarification later on from Ian Rappaport, as well as a couple of other sources, including Adam Schefter, that 3 rib fractures were on the left side. Those fractures were pre-existing or had happened in a previous game, whereas the sack by Kentavious Street, where he landed on Brees' right side, led to the other 2 rib fractures on the right side. The collapsed lung, of course, was the byproduct of the rib fracture. A small, very, very small, according to Ian Rappaport, lung puncture led to that. So when it comes to the timeline, according to Dan Graziano, the Saints are hoping, or at least Drew Brees is hoping, to have an optimistic timeline here of 2 to 3 weeks for his return. Ian Rappaport reports that the Saints do not plan to put Drew Brees on injured reserve, meaning that he's not going to be forced to miss 3 games, although it is an option. Remember, the Saints did not put Marcus Davenport on the injured reserve list early on in the season, but still missed more than 3 games. So something to watch with Drew Brees here, but they don't expect to put him on injured reserve, and he's looking at an accelerated timeline of 2 to 3 weeks. I wouldn't be surprised if that goes upwards of 4 or 5 weeks, especially if the quarterbacks are performing well, of course. Then that would certainly help the Saints not rush Drew Brees back. Again, just a reminder, the Saints' next 4 opponents all have losing records and no more than 3 wins on the season. So these are all winnable games ahead of the Saints, even though 2 of them are divisional against the Falcons, who have gotten better over these last few weeks. So now the conversation sort of centers around Jameis Winston. In the time that Drew Brees will miss, the assumption is that Jameis Winston will be the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Sean Payton did decline to sort of name a starter early on in the week because it doesn't really help the Saints to do so when he was asked in a conference call in the morning. But on WWL radio Monday evening, he did mention that there's a possibility to see both of these quarterbacks. Now, remember, he did say that same thing ahead of the Seattle Seahawks game about Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill when Drew Brees suffered the UCL tear last year in 2019 and then ended up being a very healthy dose of Teddy Bridgewater in those games and not a lot of presence from Taysom Hill because the focus turned to keeping Taysom Hill healthy in case they ended up needing a backup for Teddy Bridgewater in that circumstance. I observed yesterday that this could be the very same situation this season for Jameis Winston. However, one thing that I neglected to take into consideration is the fact that the Saints may have to be without for one game or maybe multiple games. We'll see how quickly they can clear concussion protocol, but they may have to be without Tre'Quan Smith and Josh Hill, who both have a huge role in the run game. So if the Saints feel like they can't find anybody that can come in and be able to hold that same type of ground in the run game, particularly at the tight end position, that may be a responsibility that goes to Taysom Hill. I think Marquez Callaway, as well as Juwan Johnson, can both fill that role that Tre'Quan Smith held in the run game as a wide receiver, but the tight end position may be a little challenging because you've seen them use Josh Hill and Adam Trautman in a lot of run situations, but not so much Jared Cook, who's not the strongest blocker at the tight end position. So we could still see a lot of a mix of both Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill on the field at multiple capacities for Taysom Hill, especially if Josh Hill or Tre'Quan Smith end up missing some time. It is worth mentioning as well that the Saints moved on from quarterback / tight end Tommy Stevens just last week and brought in tight end Ethan Wolf, who they signed ahead of the season. Wolf could be somebody that they could move up, and the Saints could also go out and pursue Tommy Stevens again, who is currently now on the Carolina Panthers practice squad and can be signed to the Saints active roster if they can somehow convince him to return to the New Orleans Saints. But as of now, it looks like we may see a healthy mix of both Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill on the field right now, helping to carry the Saints toward as many victories as they can pocket while Drew Brees misses the time that he needs to get healthy and heal for the stretch run up into the playoffs. Sean Payton and the Saints coaching staff have dealt with this before, and they ended up going undefeated during that time last season with Teddy Bridgewater as their starter. We'll see if they can do it again with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, see exactly how it is that they want to go through this. Saints quarterback coach Joe Lombardi was also on WWL on Monday night and mentioned that the team feels that they have three starting quarterbacks on their roster. I tend to agree with that, even though I lean a little bit more over to Jameis Winston. I'll be really interested to see how the Saints manage this, prep for this, and install this heading into the Week 11 matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. We'll talk a little bit more about that all throughout the week. Of course, we'll be joined by Aaron Freeman on Thursday for our Crossover Thursday episode, but today we're going to move on, get into some positivity and some positive news about the Saints defense that showed up and performed very well again in the win against the San Francisco 49ers. We'll talk a little bit about what they did, how they did it, and how they can continue to do it up next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Monday was so wildly busy for me because of everything going on with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees that I just needed coffee but did not have the time to go ahead and sit down and make it and get everything ready and grind my coffee beans and everything that I usually do. So I asked for help from DoorDash because there's something for everyone on DoorDash. And for me, it was a nice, fresh cup of coffee. DoorDash is the app that brings you whatever food you're craving right now, right to your door. And ordering is easy. Just open up the DoorDash app, choose whatever it is that you want to eat, and your food will be safely left outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting with over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia. You can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees of their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON. That's $5 off of your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you choose to watch. And we're certainly watching closely as Saints fans will either see Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill or some combination of both under center for at least the next couple of games. Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through any game day, regardless of who's under center, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Houdini Nation, it is Locked On Saints, your daily stop for news and analysis on the New Orleans Saints. I'm your host, Ross Jackson. Continue to move along here today. But if it's your first time catching the show, don't forget to subscribe. And of course, if you're an NBA fan, go ahead and check out the mock draft that's going on over at Locked On NBA, getting you ready for the NBA draft on Wednesday. Yes, right around the corner already, the NBA season. So let's go ahead and continue on with our look at the New Orleans Saints. We just talked a little bit about Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, Drew Brees, the quarterback situation for the New Orleans Saints, but let's shift over to something a little bit more positive and something that has been a little bit more steady here over the last couple of weeks, and it's the Saints defense. We saw them put together a very impressive performance, giving one of the five best defensive performances in the Drew Brees and Sean Payton era, allowing only 194 total yards up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and allowing an NFL record fewest carries by an opposing team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers running only five times in that last game. We expected to see from the Saints a little bit of a drop off in this game and sort of a new plateau that wouldn't be as good as what we saw with them only allowing 3 points to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but we thought it would be better than what we've seen so far this season. And that's essentially exactly what we got this immediate game right back up against the San Francisco 49ers. Remember, the 49ers held on to the ball for all but 1 minute and 21 seconds in the first quarter. 13 play drive to open up the game, taking up 7 minutes and 17 seconds off the clock. They scored a touchdown their opening drive. Then in another drive, they kicked a field goal. It was technically the second drive for them. They kicked the field goal to go up 10-0. And after that, the Saints held them without scoring again until the fourth quarter. And remember, that very same drive was actually another forced three and out by the Saints defense, but Deontay Harris muffed the punt, which extended that drive for the San Francisco 49ers and got them in position to get that field goal in the first place. So the Saints defense really turned it on and really buttoned up right after that first drive. Now remember, the first drive of any offense is scripted. They know the first 15 or so plays they're going to run. Sometimes it's that same situation when it comes to the plays coming out of the second half as well. Essentially, you just flip that game plan. And then red zone plays are usually scripted. And sometimes the 2 minute drill plays can be scripted as well. But the Saints did a very, very good job. And credit to Dennis Allen for making the appropriate adjustments when it came to all of the defensive play after that opening drive of the game. And a lot of it had to do also just with the adjustments that the players made on their own from a week to week basis. Very good eye discipline, not really biting and sort of eating the cheese, as Coach Payton would say about the hype. But we can also say that about all of the dressing that the San Francisco 49ers will put ahead of the snap, all the pre-snap motion, all of the post-snap motion as well, with wide receivers running through the backfield and running backs taking across the running across the field as well. The Saints not getting distracted by all that and staying keyed in on their assignments. That was a really big part and a positive adjustment for the Saints in terms of them being able to carry over the type of defensive production that you saw against Tampa Bay and then being able to carry it and translate it into this game against the San Francisco 49ers. And I get that San Francisco didn't have George Kittle, no Deebo Samuel, no Jimmy Garoppolo. They were very injured and very hurt all over that roster. But even still, Kyle Shanahan's system is one that tends to give the Saints trouble no matter who it is that's playing in that scheme. That scheme is something that is built to take advantage of teams and defenses that play football the way that the Saints were playing earlier on and through the first half of the season. Very undisciplined, easily fooled, trouble communicating, eye discipline issues. All of those things that San Francisco offense was trying to take advantage of and save maybe one or two plays, it never worked. The Saints defense did a phenomenal job at this. And certainly those players that we shouted out in yesterday's episode that I will happily shout out again. You look at CJ Gardner-Johnson, Demario Davis, David Onyemata, all great shining examples of that. But so too were Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams, who played great games. Marcus Williams got beat on one play, but his closing speed, which is one of the things that they love about him and one of the reasons why they drafted him in the first place out of Utah in the 2017 draft, he was able to recover and he almost picked that pass off. You can also look at Quan Alexander, who played his first game in a Saints uniform and looked outstanding as well. He had a couple of missed tackles, a couple of over pursuits, things like that, but he played really well in the run game. He played very well in coverage as well, sort of up and down. But as you would imagine, that was his first 43 snaps in this system. And so, of course, you're going to have some ups and downs as well. But CJ Gardner-Johnson is somebody that I'm absolutely very happy to focus in on just about any episode of the show, but certainly today. He ended up filling up the stat sheet with 8 total tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, his first career sack, a pass defended, and 3 quarterback hits. Demario Davis had a stat line very similar, but 12 total tackles, 3 tackles for a loss, a sack, a pass defended, and an additional quarterback hit as well. So they stayed very, very active in the, you know, all over the field. And the way that they game plan CJGJ shows you exactly why it is that the Saints were willing to move on from Von Bell and not wait for him to get back to them when it came to the contract that they had offered him this offseason. By bringing in Malcolm Jenkins, they increased their veteran presence, their savvy, as well as their coverage ability on the back end. But then what you were worried about losing with Von Bell as a pass rusher, somebody in pursuit and run defense, CJ Gardner-Johnson has given you time in and time out. And he certainly had something to prove in this game against San Francisco, who really put him on the spot last year, particularly with that final play up against George Kittle. He really came back with a vengeance in this one and wanted to make a statement and absolutely did. He was out there really trying to thump on some of these 49ers players, even got flagged for it at one point, but still played a phenomenal game, you know, whether it be pass rush. He ended up knocking over an offensive lineman at one point. He ended up freeing up opportunities for other players to make plays in the run game. He was just all over the field everywhere. And I know that he got injured by the end of the game. He had a left shoulder injury or an apparent left shoulder injury, but he updated his own status after the game saying that he was fine and that it was nothing for him to worry about. But he played an incredible game, and so did this Saints defense, by simply remaining disciplined and executing their game plan. Another way that the Saints continue to execute their game plans is with solid coverage over on the outside. Marshawn Lattimore and Janoris Jenkins both had successful days. As did Patrick Robinson, who came in relief of Marshawn Lattimore when he left with his oblique injury. But the pass rush was also there. Several pressures from all across the offensive line. The defensive line. David Onyemata all on his own, taking advantage of that 49ers offensive line with four pressures. He had a pair of pressures from Trey Hendrickson, a couple of pressures from Marcus Davenport, who ended up completely obliterating a right tackle in this game at one point with a bull rush that was just a thing of beauty. Cam Jordan also had a pressure in there as well, and many defensive linemen getting into the backfield in the run game, which creates a bit of a mental effect that you could take advantage of as defensive linemen in the passing game as well. So when it came down to how it is that the Saints were able to produce, how they can maintain it moving forward, and what it is that they did right, it really comes down to everything that we had hoped that they would eventually get straight, because the game plan was there and Dennis Allen called a hell of a game yet again. But for the Saints defense, the story comes down to execution and discipline. And now that they sort of have an idea of what this defense can feel like when they do all of that properly and maintain their discipline, maintain and key in on their assignments and communicate well and just fundamentally play better and execute the game plan, then we see exactly how well they can play. And I think that that will help them maintain it as they move forward. So we get the idea that the Saints defense played well and has improved. Now let's take a look at the numbers and dig a little bit deeper as we dive into our Analytics Tuesday segment to wrap up the show. We got that coming up for you next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we get to that, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you in part by Built Go from our good friends over at Built Bar. Built Go makes you the best at whatever it is that you do. Whether you've got a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every day. They come in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. They are essentially a healthy replacement for your energy drink, but it's not fake energy. It's long lasting and it's natural. It's an energy gel that's combined with collagen protein, which is a fast absorbing substance that is both safe and easy on the stomach. And Built Go is loaded with all the good stuff to ignite your work, like beta alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine as well. And all the things to help keep you strong with B6, B12, 10,000% of your daily percentage on those vitamins. Collagen protein also promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So this stuff not only makes you feel better, it literally makes you look better as well. So visit builtgo.com. Use the promo code LOCKED. You're going to get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. All right, family, wrapping up today's Analytics Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints. We do this every Tuesday where we take the final segment of the show to dive into the numbers. Usually I also try to split this up offense and defense, but the fact of the matter is that there wasn't much offense to talk about in this game for the New Orleans Saints. Even when Drew Brees was in, this offense had some trouble catching rhythm early. Once again, they were able to do it with the 2-minute drive at the end of the quarter or at the end of the half and find a way to produce there amongst a couple of other situations early on. But it was really Alvin Kamara that helped to carry this team and get this team into the end zone. But again, he really only had 98 total yards in this game, which for Alvin Kamara is a situation where we have to use the only qualifier, which is kind of wild. But 3 touchdowns in the game, and he's one of only 3 players outside of Drew Brees to have a positive EPA per play number. The only other two players outside of Alvin Kamara to have that were Deontay Harris, who caught four passes in this game, and then also Emmanuel Sanders, who only caught one pass in this game, but was credited with a 1.59 EPA per play bonus. Basically, he ended up helping to get the Saints to the points where they could score some points and put some points on the board there. So he's credited with a successful play and a higher EPA because that drive ended in a score. So when you look at the rest of these players, Jameis Winston minus 0.07, the exact opposite of Drew Brees, who was a positive 0.07. Taysom Hill minus 2.00, which is massive. Latavius Murray minus 0.09. Taysom Hill in the run game minus 0.42. Michael Thomas in the passing game minus 0.67. So these were not great numbers for the team. I mean, you want to really get a frame of reference here. Jared Cook, who we know has underperformed, particularly over the last couple of weeks, minus 1.11. So more than minus a point in his favor for the team here. So you look at the way that this team produced, and really the only place that they saw positive production, or the only two places, or really no, the only place where they saw positive production was in early passing plays. That would be it, where they had a 75% success rate and a 40% first down percentage on 20 plays in that early portion of the drive, and particularly early passing plays. So regardless, and outside of that, the Saints still found a way to win this game, not only handedly, but by 14 points, a two-touchdown win for the team. And it's no wonder why they were able to do it, because if you look at the defensive stats for the Saints over these last two games, two impressive performances for this defense in EPA. If you look at the EPA from just weeks 9 and 10, so the last 2 weeks here, the Saints number one in total EPA per play defense, which means they are not allowing success on the defensive side. And to put their lead in that stat in perspective, the distance between them at number two and the Pittsburgh Steelers at, I'm sorry, them at number one and the Pittsburgh Steelers at number two is the same distance between the Pittsburgh Steelers at number two and the Las Vegas Raiders at number eight. So the Saints have been very, very successful here over the last couple of games on the defensive side. When it comes to their dropback EPA per play allowed, i.e. how they performed against the pass, they're number two there behind Pittsburgh and very close, within 0.5 points there, 0.05 points there. And then in rush EPA, they're also number two against the run in that stat as well, which should be no surprise to anybody. In this game against the San Francisco 49ers, they allowed only 2 yards per carry over 25 carries in that game. Now, one of the big things to take a look at in the midst of all this is you look at the Saints' production over the last two games on the defensive side. You also look at their upcoming opponent, the Atlanta Falcons, in their last two games over on the offensive side and compare them across the NFL. They're actually number three in total offensive EPA, but no reason to be worried about that. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the way that they produced in between their games against the New Orleans Saints, so from weeks 2 through 8, which are the games they played in between opening the season against the Saints and then getting absolutely mollywopped in week 9, 38-3, Tampa Bay was actually number six in total EPA per play on the offensive side and number four in the passing game when it came to dropback EPA as well. So the Saints have proved that this defense can show up and take on top competition, which right now, by this metric, the Atlanta Falcons have been a top piece of competition for the last couple of weeks since Raheem Morris took over for Dan Quinn. Imagine that. Dan Quinn was the problem in Atlanta. Who'd have thunk it? So I wouldn't get too worried about this Saints defense falling short going up against a division rival here, because they proved that they can do it against top competition. They could do it against a team whose top competition is a division rival, and they've done it now in two consecutive games. Now, can they continue to build on the momentum that they've created for themselves with these positive defensive matchups? Remember, the defense played a large role in the five games that Teddy Bridgewater won as a starter. Can they show up? Can they do it again with even more talent on the defensive side this season than they had last season? That's going to be a big thing to watch here. But so far, the numbers, the analytics are trending in the Saints' favor. So good news for the Saints as they get ready to embark on some otherwise unknown territory here, going back into the fray once again without Drew Brees, much like they did last season. But so far, some of the things that held them together, the defense and the special teams, are coming on right when they are absolutely most necessary for this team. And this is a team that's rallied around one another multiple times, and we're seeing leadership and leadership roles really develop for this team. We know DeMario Davis is probably going to, you know, start off each of these games without Drew Brees, however long he's out, with the, you know, pregame huddle, right? He'll be that guy that gets the team pumped up. Alvin Kamara going out there and helping Chauncey Gardner-Johnson up and walking him off the field, telling him to get up and get on the sideline. They got a game to finish. Like, that type of leadership is something that is really starting to permeate in other areas of this team. So the mental side of what they're going to lose with Drew Brees is always a risk when you don't have Drew Brees on the field. But there are a lot of smart players. There are a lot of really good players, and there are a lot of outstanding leaders on this team to help them through the next level of adversity. Because don't forget, this isn't just something that's happened brand new to this team. This team has fought through and come out on the other side of adversity several times already this season, being without their offensive player of the year for several games, being without both Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders for a couple of matchups here, being without their top two corners going up against, you know, Matt Stafford, Kenny Galladay, and Marvin Jones. Like, this was a team, or is a team, that has continuously overcome adversity, not just this season, but last season and the season before that. I think that they'll do it again. I have a lot of confidence in them to find a way to do it again, because if nothing else, you have a defense now that's standing up and that's playing up to their potential. You have a special teams that continues to perform and put your team in positions to win with the hidden yardage game. And you've got a genius over on the offensive side in Sean Payton, who can game plan like nobody's business, and who can get out there and create a game plan for Tamus, right? If it's Jameis or it's Taysom or it's some combination of both, he's going to be able to create a game plan that's going to keep them together and keep them moving. I'm feeling very confident about this team moving forward, and maybe I'm just a little bit optimistic. But remember, I was optimistic ahead of Teddy Bridgewater too. So I'm excited to see where this goes next and what this could mean for the Saints in their future, as well as their now. So we'll go into our Film Watch Wednesday tomorrow. We'll break down three impactful plays from Sunday's win, and it will continue to push forward to next week's matchup. Once again, Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons, is going to come through for Crossover Thursday, and we'll get into our Film Friday on the Falcons, sort of our Falcons hate week here as we move into the Black and Gold Friday to take a look at the Falcons and see how it is that the Saints can attack, exploit, and beat the Falcons at home on Sunday. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.